Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Andrew. I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Andrew.
Could everyone please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to a silent profile and please try to keep disruptions to a minimum? Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. In view of our singleness of purpose, we respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics, and when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard Alcoholics Anonymous can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers, followed by a fourth speaker until approximately 8:30. The meeting will then be open for sharing from the floor and closed at 9 o'clock. Can we have a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Thank you, everyone. I would now like to introduce tonight's final speaker, Matthew.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, my name's Matt. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Matt.
And I'm absolutely delighted to be here. And yeah, my home group is the Road to Recovery group in Sydney, Australia. It meets on Friday night. And you're welcome to come. And yeah, it's been a bit nerve-wracking being here in front of so many people. And but my sponsor gave me some really good advice that, you know, is great, that, you know, whenever you get an opportunity to share, just carry AA's message to the still suffering alcoholic. And I can do that because it's my experience that this program works. It's powerful. It's real. And you know, the evidence is, yeah, it's happened to me. You know, I'm sober today, in my 10th year of sobriety, and yeah, I'm free from that bondage of self. And not only has it happened to me, but it's I've seen it work in other people. You know, I've seen it just change people's lives, and it really is truly remarkable to be a part of this. And for that, I thank you guys, you know, especially the Road to Recovery group, you know, my sponsor, and for all the work that you're doing today and have done, because, you know, through an amazing series of events, you know, just that message of recovery has been passed from one alcoholic to another all around the world. And, you know, just a few hours ago, there were 20 alcoholics in my home group who were recovered, you know, and united in that, you know, carrying the message, and just enjoying life, and it's a beautiful thing, because for that brief moment, you know, that one night, there are, you know, 20 people who aren't drink driving, you know, on the streets of Sydney. There's 20 people who aren't, like, you know, smashing up a pub and getting into fights, or, you know, just 20 people who aren't smashing up the house, and you know, it's beautiful, man. It brings a tear to my eye, And seeing that happening here as well, it's great, all around the world. And yeah, so on behalf of all the guys in Sydney, thank you as well. So, and if my mum was here, she'd say thank you too as well, because not only, yeah, am I sober, but, you know, my mum today, you know, she can go to sleep knowing that although I'm on the other side of the world, you know, she's not going to get that phone call from the cops saying, yeah, we found Matt, he jumped in front of a train, or, you know, or, you know, my sister will thank you too, you know, she knows I'm, you know, not going to be coming around and stealing alcohol and stuff from her house. And, you know, my brother, he's not going to have to come and visit his loser older brother in rehab and give him a carton of smokes, you know, and I'll borrow some more money off him. And, you know, so it's great, mate. Not only is it working in my life, but the lives of everyone who I come into contact with, you know, it's beautiful. This is an amazing, amazing program. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous is awesome, and it's really good news that there is a solution, there is a way out. And, you know, the only effort required is just to follow a few simple rules. You know, the 12-step program of recovery is outlined in the big book, and like I heard tonight from the previous speakers, you know, yeah, if you do what we do, you know, you will get the same result. This never fails. You know, this is awesome, powerful stuff. But if you're anything like me, when I first came into AA, you know, it didn't really strike me as good news when I first heard that, you know, this is what I had to do to recover. But, you know, I was soon to get to that place where there was nothing left for me. Because when I first came here, I couldn't see that alcohol was my problem, or, you know, to be in a situation where I couldn't drink, like you're saying that I had to stay, like I can't drink anymore, you know, I couldn't accept that, you know, because for me, alcohol, you know, although it was causing me all those problems, it was just amazing stuff, you know, and even, you know, that bond I had with alcohol, you know, started off that very first time I got drunk, being about, you know, 15 years old, and just being at a party with all these older people there, and you know, just went there like my usual self, just being shy and insecure and not really fitting in, not being able to talk to anyone, definitely not dancing, and, you know, definitely not talk to any girls and stuff. But, you know, just having a couple of drinks, it just, in an instant, it changed all of that, you know. The big book describes it, you know, wonderfully, in that sense of ease and comfort that comes at once from taking a few drinks. And that happened that very first time, and that effect was to change my life, really, because it just, for the first time, I felt alive. You know, I felt that this is awesome. You know, this is how I want to be. This has got the power for me to feel good. And that, you know, that later that night, you know, I was dancing. You know, I was jumping off the roof into the swimming pool. You know, I was best friends with all the older, cooler guys at school. You know, and just having a great night. You know, I could, and it was great stuff. It just changed my life, you know. And but something even, you know, happened that very first night that I didn't even worry about at the time, but what I know today, that I experienced that phenomenon of craving, you know, from that very first time I drank. Because after, you know, the party had finished, everyone gone home, I was still there, and I wanted more to drink. And I remember asking, you know, some of the guys, is anyone got any more beers? And it was like, no, man, we're out. And I remember, like, going to the kitchen and, you know, searching through the kitchen pantry, and I found some cooking brandy up the back, and I sat down in the kitchen. I turned the light off because I didn't want anyone to see, and I just began just throwing down these shots with, you know, blocking my nose, of just cooking brandy, because I just wanted to see, like, you know, how far can I take this? I just wasn't satisfied. It was always just one more, you know. You just get that one more, and that's where we want to, you know. And it was crazy, and yeah. But, you know, from that moment on, like, I guess things worked out pretty well. You know, with alcohol now, I could do some pretty cool stuff, and, you know, I did amazing things. You know, I went to places I could never have gone to sober. You know, I did things that were just out of my reach sober, you know, but now I could just do all this cool stuff. Like, you know, really, I was, you know, the Bill describes it as, you know, I was just a, you know, forged that boomerang that would one day, you know, come back and all but cut me to pieces, you know. And I just got progressively sicker and so deluded, and just, you know, it was just crazy. And, you know, my drinking just went out of control. There were times where, you know, I'd even know that, like, my drinking's not good and I've got to cut back, and, you know, and I'd try and control it. You know, there were times where I'd kind of think, man, this is getting out of control. So what I would do is, I'd be working in a bar in the city, and one of the things, we'd have staff drinks after work, and I'd always get, like, absolutely smashed, and I wouldn't be able to get home till, you know, late. And so I thought, well, what I'll do, right, is I'll drive the car to work. That way, I can only have two drinks, because you can only have two drinks, and then you're over the limit. That's my control plan. And it's, you know, for anyone else, that would probably make sense. And so I'd do that. I'd drive to work, and after work, I'd stay and have two drinks and say, look, I've got to go. I've got the car. So I'd drive home, but just when I'm getting home, the last pub, I think, man, I'll just stop there, and I'll just have one more drink, because I've probably sobered up a little bit now, and that means I could have one more drink. And so I'd go to the pub, and I'd have that drink, and I think, oh man, that phenomenon of craving's kicking in, you know, and there's no way I'm stopping now, you know. So I'd kind of think, well, it was always really late at night. It'd be like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning, and all the bottle shops are closed, but now I've had 3 beers, and I've got to get drunk, you know, but I've got the car. So what I think, okay, well, I'll go and I'll just buy some beers at the bar, right? And they'd have to take the tops off, and I'd put them down my shirt, and then I'd walk out past the bouncers and into my car, and then I'd start filling up the car with like open beer bottles, right? And so I'd end up getting about, you know, eight beer bottles, and I'd put them in the pocket behind the seats and in the drink holders, and I'd be holding them in my legs, and then I'd be driving home with the car just full of all these open bottles, knowing that I've just got to get this alcohol home to finish the job, you know, and it was crazy, and you know, I mean, that's just insane. For me, trying to control my drinking, it ends up just so out of control. It's outrageous. And you know, there are other times when I come home and just the drinking, like I'll be living with my sister, and you know, when you come home and you're not quite drunk enough, but the bottle shop's closed, and I'll be sitting there in my bedroom just going, man, I need some more alcohol. And then I'd know that my sister's got some alcohol in her room. You know, she had this bottle of port that she got for her 21st birthday. I'm sitting in this room, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not quite drunk enough, and there's a bottle of port in the next room. And so I go in, you know, to her room and sneak in and grab the alcohol and sneak out and be all quiet. And I just down that just so I can get to sleep. And the next day when she'd go off to work, I'd fill it up with water and put it back in there so she wouldn't know that, you know, anything would happen. And then when the next paycheck would come in, I'd go and buy 2 bottles of port and fill her bottle of port up with port and then put it back. And I'd, crazy. And I used to do this like all the time, you know, just constantly drinking this port. And then one night I remember I came home and I did it again, you know, and I went in, I snuck it through and picked out this bottle of port and got it back to my room and sat down and, you know, now I know I'm going to be able to get to sleep, you know. And I'm just pouring that glass out of port, and it was water, you know. And it just backfired on me so badly. And I don't know, and it's just, that's just not normal stuff. And but I guess, you know, I started to, yeah, my life just fell apart, you know, the depression, the anxiety, and you know, I couldn't hold down jobs, and you know, relationships were just falling apart. And you know, I ended up, you know, after one particular night, just, you know, just getting into a lot of trouble and just smashing up the house, and the police called and the ambulances came round, and I got taken off to the mental hospital and was really presented with the reality of my situation, that look what drinking's doing to me. You know, you could kind of see it. You know, I was covered in blood, and you know, my mum's distraught, and you know, I had time to reflect that this is pretty serious stuff, you know. And then the doctor said, mate, you've got to stop drinking. And I'm like, okay, if drinking is my problem, then I'll just stop. I'll just cut it out. You know, if the reason my life's so bad, I'm just going to stop drinking. And I made a promise there to myself. I promised my mum, you know, I promised the doctors there, that's it, I'm through. And I meant it, you know, with every ounce of that's it, man. I can't put up this stuff anymore. And but then just the same thing would always happen, you know. It'd be after I'd make that decision, my mind would just begin to change, you know. Things would start to go my way again. Like, I remember the doctor prescribed me some Valium. You know, I was like, oh yeah, this isn't too bad. And I got a new girlfriend in the rehab. So it's like, oh yeah, things, you know, I'm looking up a bit. And then the doctor gave me a note from the Centrelink office that I could get money for free. I didn't have to work anymore, sickness benefits. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. I think I've got this back together. And in such a short period of time, you know, my ego's revived and, you know, I'm back. In fact, it's never been this good before, you know. I'm getting free drugs, free money, and I've got a girlfriend, you know. What exactly is the problem here again? You know, like, I could not see just how much trouble I was in. You know, I didn't grasp the severity of it. It was just a little bit of a game. And but I remember leaving that hospital, you know, and on the way home to my sister's place, who I'd promised that I would not drink on the condition that, you know, I could stay at her house, she'd help me get back on my feet, you know. The only requirement, just don't drink. And I said, yeah, no worries, I'm not drinking anymore. But on the way home, you know, I went to the pub and just started playing the poker machines, cause I had some time to kill before the train came. And then just like that, the thought comes, you know, well, why don't we just have a beer, you know. You've got half an hour till the train comes. You've only got time for one anyway. So, you know what I mean? And that today, I know, is the real essence of my problem. It's in that... That's, you know, that moment before that first drink, that it's a strange mental blank spot, you know. I don't have a defense against that first drink. It's crazy, you know, because a week ago, you know, the most amazing carnage of my life. I'm sworn off it forever, you know. Everybody's like, this is serious. A week later, oh, whatever, you know, I'll just have a drink. And that's what is just absolutely hopeless, you know, is that my mind will just would just change and just talk me back into drinking again. And it was crazy. And I remember, you know, it took me a long time to really see just how serious that was, you know. But and I went to counselors and psychologists and tried all this medication and went to all these rehabs. And, you know, long story short, I remember, you know, I'm about to leave my fifth rehab, you know, and everyone's, you know, I'm ready to go a few days out, and they're all, you know, pumping me up, psyching me up. Matt, you got to stay sober, go out there and kick some goals. And had my relapse prevention workbook and had all my phone numbers of all my new best friends. We're all going to meet up and go to meetings, and, you know what I mean? And I had this council appointment lined up, and for the first time I just saw through it all and just thought, no, I'm not looking forward to this at all. In fact, I'm absolutely terrified. You know, I know that I've been in this situation before. You know, it doesn't matter how serious I am or how many promises I make or how determined I am or how many, you know, workbooks or books that are, you know, I'm hopeless. You know, I'm going to leave this rehab and my mind is going to change, you know, and it's just a matter of time. It's like maybe a week, maybe a couple of months, but my mind will just go to that point where I will start drinking again. And I saw that for the very first time, and it absolutely terrified me, because I knew that there was nothing I could do about that, you know, because I know I'm going to leave there and I'm going to suffer, you know, and it's horrible. You know, sobriety for me is just, I can put up with it for a while, but eventually, you know, I just get so restless and so irritable, so discontent, and, you know, I just can't relax, and everyone just pisses me off, and you just don't understand, you know, just leave me alone, you know, just back off, you know, and I want out of there. It's a horrible place to be, you know. The depression is just killing me, and anxiety is like, you know what I mean, and again, you know, I get to that point, I get so worked up, and, you know, I hate myself, and I'm just crippled with resentments, you know, I'm just reliving all the failures of my past, and all the bad stuff that's happened to me, and all the people I hate, and I just yearn. I yearn to feel good. You know, I yearn to get out from that and just to once again just relax and have some fun. And, you know, and then there's nothing I can do to kickstart that. I can't. You know, I've tried everything, and eventually I'll be so insane and so mad that my mind will just begin that insane dialogue that, you know what, maybe we could get it to work this time. And maybe if we just drink light beer, or, you know, maybe. Right, what we'll do, right, we'll wait till 5 o'clock, or we'll just drink on the weekends, or, you know, there'll be something that will just come up, you know, and I may postpone it, but eventually I'll just give way and think, you know what, I don't care, man, because whatever's going to happen, man, I'll throw it all away for that crazy chance that this time I could once again control and enjoy my drinking, you know, and that's insane, and that is so insane and so crazy, because for me, once I start to drink, you know, there's nothing in it anymore. The party's over, man. It's just that phenomenon of craving. It's just straight to blackout, you know, and straight to the drugs and the gambling, and I'm going to die, really. You know, it's serious. Like, for me to drink again, there's nothing left, man. It's just death, you know, suicide, death. That's it, over. And then, yeah, I remember I'm out of my rehab now, and I'm in AA, and but this time was different. I was beaten this time. I had step one. I didn't even know what it was, but I'd thrown in the towel, man. I was crushed, nothing left, you know, and I didn't know what to do, and the only place for me to go was AA, but thank God, you know, because that's, when I was in that point, that's when that message of hope was carried to me, you know, when my ego was just smashed out away, just long enough for that inkling of hope to come through. But, you know, it had been there the whole time, you know, the 12-step program, it was presented to me for years, and I just didn't buy it. But when I was desperate and there was nowhere else to go, you know, this was my only chance, but still, I was still so hesitant. You know, I didn't want to do this, and I didn't want to ask anyone for help. I didn't want to take any inventory. I didn't want to make amends. I didn't even think I needed to make amends. You know, people needed to make amends to me. Like, there was, that could be a program I could do, but I just couldn't see how this could work. Like, why? You know, but what sold me on accepting this spiritual way of life was you people. You know, was other alcoholics who had gone before me. You know, and. You know, my sponsor, I remember him, you know, it was just like a spotlight, clear as day. You know, he got up and shared, and bang, for the first time, you know, I identified with another alcoholic on such a deep level, because he was a guy who knew my experience through his own experience. You know, he'd walked the walk. He'd drank like I drank, and And he suffered like I suffered, and he felt like I felt, and you know, all of those drinking stories and all of the attempts to stop drinking, all of that stuff, you know, he'd done, and I was, my God, this guy's me. And but he wasn't there anymore. He wasn't where I, you know, he was on a different footing. You know, he was sober, he was recovered, he was happy and free, and he was traveling around the world, and he was, you know, easy in his own company, and he was having fun, you know, and he was sober. And that was really good news, you know, because that's what just gave me enough hope that if it could work for him, then maybe it could work for me too. And even more so, he was actively looking for people like me that night. You know, he came straight up to me after the meeting and he introduced himself and said, "How you going?" You know, and no one had ever done that. I remember thinking, there's no way he wants to hang around such a loser like me, but he was there to hang around such a loser like me that night, you know. And thank God he did, because you saved my life. You know, you stretched out that hand of AA and said, you know, welcome. You know, and I asked him to be my sponsor, and that was probably the hardest thing I'd ever done. You know, because up until then, I'd never asked anyone for help. You know, but you know, he just inspired such confidence and trust in me that I'll give this a shot. And I just asked him, yeah, would you be my sponsor? And he said, yeah, are you willing to go to any lengths? And I had no idea what he meant, so I said yes, but. Yeah, it was just, yeah, we started taking daily actions, you know, straight away, you know, things like, yeah, it was mentioned tonight, you know, praying on my knees, asking for a clean and sober day, you know, writing a gratitude list, phoning newcomers, you know, getting stuck into service and reading the big book and all this stuff that I didn't think, you know, was relevant or worked, but he just said, mate, just do it, just take these actions, and I did. And what can I say, you know, from that moment, I was well and truly on the road to recovery, you know, I began to recover from alcoholism. And what an amazing experience. And you know, it was, yeah, it was amazing. And in no time at all, I did my third step prayer and straight into my fourth step. And thank God I had a good sponsor who was properly armed with facts about himself. He knew what it was to be an alcoholic. And more importantly, he knew how to recover, you know. And he could shine that spotlight of truth on me when he showed me how to do a step four. Because I had no idea any of that stuff was going on in me. But bang, he just showed me, like, writing out inventory, you know, and I remember him showing me some of his stuff. I'm like, oh my God, that is so sick and twisted, you know. But he saved my life, because all of that crazy stuff that he'd done, he could share that with me and allow me to begin that process of recovery. So his past was his greatest asset, because that saved my life. And I think that is the coolest thing about AA, you know, that, yeah, him sharing that allowed me to share it with him. And wow, you know, the first time I wrote down all those resentments, and that was what was killing me, you know. And I could see it from a totally different point of view. I'd see where I'd been wrong. I was full of pride or arrogance and self-pity, self-centeredness. I didn't think any of that stuff applied to me, but suddenly it all applies to me. And my God, it, the truth set me free. I could see what my problem was. And, you know, as hard as it was, you know, we went through it, and just my whole life, bang, and flipped it up, you know, upside down. And I remember sharing all that with my sponsor, my step five, and he didn't call the cops or kick me out. He just said, "Matt, welcome to the human race." You know, how cool is that? You know, and from that moment on, man, I had that amazing spiritual experience, you know, where all of that stuff I've been carrying around in me, you know, the anger and the hatred, and was like black lead in my blood, you know, heavy. And It just left, you know, over the next few days, it just flew away. And I remember for the first time, yeah, I stood in the sunlight of the Spirit, and I just, yeah, I can do this. I can live in this world sober, you know. That feeling of the drink problem had just gone, you know, just out of the ballpark. And it was just I was free, you know. And that was a higher power in my life, you know, the default setting, just all of that bad stuff cleared away, and I'm connected. And from that moment, you know, I've just worked through the rest of the steps and, just continue to take those actions today, you know, and for the last 10 years. And it's put me in such good stead. And I've just grown up, you know, and enjoyed all the amazing things of life. You know, I got off the sickness benefits, would you believe? stopped smoking, you know, went back to uni and then graduated top of the class and got a job in the industry I studied for. My sister asked me to babysit her kids, you know. I hang out with my mum and, you know, I travel the world and, you know, today I'm here in Munich from work. You know, they sent me on an overseas European assignment. You know, if they knew where I was 10 years ago, I don't think they'd be doing that now. But what a thrill, you know. My life is just incredible today. But it's the same, I just you know, I'm active already in the Munich Fellowship. You know, I'm sponsoring a guy there, and just getting stuck into it. It's great to be a part of it. And yeah, it's just amazing. I today, like, yeah, I have a higher power in my life, you know, as a result of taking these actions that has completely transformed my whole way of thinking, my whole thought and attitude. You know, it's entirely different. And the dark and musty past, all of the bad shit stuff I had done, is now, yeah, one of my greatest assets, you know, because I've had the privilege of sponsoring other people, you know, taking them through the work. And I'll tell you what, that is an absolute thrill to be a part of that, to play a part in someone's recovery and see the lights come on in them, and to see them go through that process and, you know, go and make amends to their father and see their children back in their life, and then once again become useful, productive members of society, you know. And that's what a thrill. I mean, this is good stuff, you know. And, you know, that's what keeps me here, because not only do I have a great life, but I just see it working around me, and it's a real thrill. And with a higher power in my life, you know, I feel okay. You know, I feel, even though life's really tough sometimes, you know, and relationships and, you know, heartbreak and all of that, but I can get through it all, you know, because I've got a sponsor and my commitments in my home group and my higher power. Because I know that deep down everything's going to be okay, no matter what. That's pretty cool, you know. And I don't need to seek that escape from alcohol and drugs anymore, because it's just, I can see it for what it is. It's poison. It's nothing in it, you know. That ease and comfort that alcohol kind of promised, I get that right here tonight, you know, with a higher power in my life. Just, yeah, everything's going to be all right. And so if you're new, welcome. You know, this is, it's a great place to be. And if you've yet to find a solution to alcoholism, or even if you've been around and you're yet to, you know, have that life beyond your wildest dreams and know what it is to be free, get stuck in, you know, grab yourself a sponsor and get one tonight. And just start take their guidance, you know, work these actions, follow those 12 steps out of that big book, and yeah, you'll be amazed at some. It's really good stuff. I'm absolutely delighted to be here, and Wayne, thanks for asking me to share, and yeah, I'll leave it there. Thanks.